Good morning, Paula. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good morning.
All right, I'll try it again. This time I've got my speaker on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank can you. You hear me?
Yes, good.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Felix.
Morning, Jenny. Doing good, you? Yes, sir.
Trying to keep everybody as soon as possible, man.
I appreciate that.
Getting really ugly out there now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks, Gino.
You're welcome.
You too.
Good morning, this is Luis. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Luis. Paula.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Hess, are you on? Commissioner Lopez, are you on?
Yes, sir. Present.
Mr. Dorenkamp.
Yes, sir.
All right. We get started here. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 9 a.m., Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners. Board meeting. I will call this meeting to order. Commissioner Felix Lopez, would you please lead us in the invocation?
Yes, sir. Our God and Father, we need more of you in these challenging times. Continue to give us the wisdom and knowledge to navigate one day at a time. May you increase in our lives, but we must decrease. It is only that with you that we can make a difference. We welcome your guidance and presence here today. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Commissioner Hess, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Here. Approval of the agenda. Is there any changes, Mr. Dorenkamp?
Yes, Commissioner, there is. I'd like the board to remove item 8, new business F, discussion of EIAF Tier 1 Fisher's Peak Impact Study. We'll meet an executive and discuss how we want to press forward with that item.
There a motion, please?
Motion to approve the agenda with that change.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of minutes. Regular meeting minutes of July 7th, 2020. Any comments, questions, or concerns?
comments, questions, concerns, I move to approve the regular minute meetings from July 7th, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Reading of correspondence, Commissioner Committee reports. Commissioner Hess, would you like to go first today?
Sure. So on July 14th, Mr. Dornkamp asked if I would help submit a presentation for an energy impact grant through DOLA. And this is for a couple more paving projects. Thanks for including me, Phil. July 16th, all three commissioners were asked by the Colorado Department of Parks and Wildlife to give testimony to the Parks and Wildlife Committee as to what the name of the new 42nd State Park would be. We had received many comments from our constituents that it should be named Fisher Peak State Park. And all of us alluded to that effect. And after testimony, the vote was taken and it passed unanimously as Fisher Peak State Park. On July 17th, Felix, Luis, and I attended a meet and greet with the new Pinyon Canyon Garrison Commander. Every 2 years, the Garrison Commander changes. So Colonel Nate Springer, who is highly decorated and served in Operation Enduring Freedom, both 11 and 12 in Afghanistan. He served in the 1st Brigade, 101st Airborne. Also met Sergeant Major Kenyatta Mack, also highly decorated. He served as a tank commander in the 2nd Battalion in the 29th Infantry Regiment. And he was also military police. And he also has a master's in cybersecurity, and he was stationed in Iraq, Germany, and Afghanistan. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. As Commissioner has mentioned, an honor to participate on the Energy Impact Grant with DOLA. And this is going to give us an opportunity to continue to pave, to advance the paving on the county roads. What a great opportunity, again, to Division of Wildlife and Natural Resources to participate on that Fisher Peak naming. Great opportunity there. A couple of other meetings that came our way. The governor's called a meeting regarding the mandatory use of masks. He went over all the protocols and statistical analysis and so on. One of the other meetings last Friday was the Colorado Counties Incorporated, CCI, business meeting with an overview, in-depth review, and Commissioner Tony Hass, I believe, was on at the meeting as well. The 20 of the most impactful bills that took place on the last legislative session, and the group actually put a lot of energy going over, I don't know if Sheriff Navarrete is on the line, but Senate Bill 20-217, Enhancing Police Officer Integrity, was one of the ones that just required a lot of attention because it has a couple of deadlines, one of which it's already in place, the qualified immunity, that I believe it's either September of 2020 or it's already in place. And then also mentioned that the District Attorney's Association and the Sheriff's Association are going to be conducting a lot of training this summer to prepare our officers to respond to these mandates from Senate Bill 20-217. So a lot of bills, and I have a summary of each one of them. I'll share that with all of you. The last meeting that I attended yesterday was via Zoom as well with CDPHE regarding the rules and regulations for school districts to look to opening the school year 2020. All the complexities and the challenges that are awaiting each one of the school districts to work directly with the local health department. So it's gonna be a new chapter for every school district, and they have to work to put a plan together and so on. I am proud to announce the Otero Partners Incorporated. I went over the first loan review process. I enjoyed very much thoroughly. I had a pretty good conversation with Ms. Linnell Burke back and forth, and learned a ton, and probably was one of the better business plans that the group has seen. So that's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Well, yesterday I attended Otero Partners Incorporated meeting, and we had some good news out of it. There is another loan that has been approved for a business here in Los Angeles County in the city of Trinidad for downtown. It is for a restaurant business type hot wings establishment. So they will be funded in the amount of $35,000 for operational and for equipment. So that was some bit of good news. And we also have another loan from Los Angeles County that is being reviewed and organized as we speak. I did speak with Senator Cory Gardner a little over a week ago regarding COVID and the federal level, and it was very insightful of what's going to be happening moving forward in the Washington, in the federal level, and regarding COVID and the funding, the mechanisms that they're putting in place and working on right now as we speak. It was very nice that he takes our calls from us commissioners here in Los Angeles County. So, Senator Gardner, thank you very much for the attention you give us here in our area. Also, I spoke with Adam Zarin from the governor's office the day of the mask order that was issued. And to clarify for some folks out there that are confused, it's not 100% clear on how it is to be enforced to the public, but this is exactly from the governor's office, that the business is to monitor the mask wearing, and if the business has a customer not wearing the mask and they want them to wear the mask, it is up to the business to enforce the mask ruling. It is not going to be from law enforcement. However, if the mask is not worn and they are asked to wear it and they refuse, then they will be able to call the local police department. And at that time, a citation or a warning of a citation of trespassing will be issued to that customer or that person not compliance. Other than that, the next step or level of discipline act would be put on the municipality to either strip the business of its business license and operation in that community. So it's not 100% mandate direct from the governor. Basically, it funnels through to the business, and if the business chooses to allow masks or no masks, it is entirely, I believe, the way this comes across is up to the business and then up to the municipality to enforce the business to do so. So it's really gray still, but I thought I'd share that with everyone. As Commissioner Felix Lopez did mention, the CDE guidelines were put out yesterday. I was up till quite late last night trying to review them and go over them, and received a phone call this morning from one of our superintendents regarding that, and they will be discussing that with their board of directors as well. And one more item that I have is some really great news for our Veterans Office, Service Officer Mr. Ray Odom. Almost a year ago, we were at CCI, Commissioner Felix Lopez, Commissioner Tony Haas, and I. We attended a meeting regarding our veteran service offices. And at that time, we brought some information back and passed it along to Mr. Ray Odom. Well, I believe this past week, the local veterans were awarded a $27,000 grant. So good job to Mr. Ray Odom and getting that accomplished.
Yeah, congrats, Ray.
Good job. With that, I will move right on to public comment, and we'll see if we have anybody signed up first with Mr. Dornkamp. And if not, if anyone else would like to speak, please unmute your phone, and we'll give you a 3-minute limit. Mr. Dornkamp, do you have anybody signed up?
No one's signed up, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone on the line that would like to make any public comment regarding our meeting today? Okay, elected officials update. We can start with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Navarette, are you on the line?
Good morning, Commissioners. Nothing really new other than the new order that came down from the governors, as you were explaining. That was my understanding of the businesses, if they were to enforce that or ask the patrons to do that. We will assist in any way in that matter. This has been a big topic of conversation about the mask wearing and citation. I made a statement that we probably would not be enforcing the mask law or order, but we will assist with trespassing and continue to educate the public on the wearing of it and the health benefits of it. But that's basically where we stand as our office. So we will continue to assist in any way possible.
Thank you, Sheriff. Mr. Motto, do we have the assessors on the call? And you might need to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We are just in the process of running our oil and gas numbers and getting those assessed and valued. We're trying to get our abstracts and get everything ready so we can get good information out to all of our entities, school districts, fire districts, counties, cities, without having to send out 3 to 4 different abstracts so they can start on their budgetary meetings and getting that situated. We are still waiting on plexiglass. NV is having a hard time, I guess, obtaining it at this point. My only question is, we're getting a lot of phone calls and questions about when we might be open. Do we have a date or any sort of idea so we can inform the public?
My take on it is when your office is ready to open, we'll do open by appointment only. So let me know when your office is ready.
Okay, I guess maybe, Phil, I'll talk to you later and see if I'm the only one to hold up. Maybe we'll just put a sheet of plastic there for now until NV can move forward. It was my understanding that the security desk was still not ready yet either.
It's not in an ideal situation, that is correct. But if you're wanting to open, I'm sure we can work around it.
Okay, I'll meet with you or give you a call. But that's all that's happening in the assessment world.
Thank you, Mrs. Amato. We have anyone from the clerks, Ms. V. Hill or Mr. Mestis?
This is Joseph. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen and ladies?
Good.
Good. We don't have any updates at this point. I think Peach might be on the line. I saw her, one of her laptops on there. So, at this point, we don't have any. We are still using our drop boxes to process everything, and seems like people are using title applications, so we're able to do person-to-person transfers. So right now, no big update.
If I may, Mr. Mestis, I've got a few phone calls regarding trying to get in contact with the offices and all the county offices. And so this is to all elected officials and us commissioners as well, is to make sure we keep our voicemails empty as much as possible and check them as often as possible so we can make it more convenient for some of these folks trying to do business with us while we're under these restrictions. So,
I've gotten some comments from that too. And here's kind of what's happening. We have a couple of lines, which our phone situation is getting bad. We're down to 2 or 3 phones that actually work. But the ones that do work, we're on them. And the girls literally are on the phone throughout the whole day doing renewals and other stuff. And even as we're on the calls, the voicemails are still coming in and filling up. So we are checking our messages and everything. But literally they are answering as many calls as they as we can with what we have, but the voicemail does fill up real quick. But we are checking them, and we don't let people go. Sometimes people think we don't call back because they see the unavailable log on when you call back from these phones. You just, you know, it comes up as unavailable. So we do call back, and you know, we touch base with everybody that tries to get a hold of us. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right, Mr. Messes. When I tried to call into the Zoom meeting today on the county phone, it wouldn't acknowledge me either. So yeah. Well, I understand. Yeah, it's been interesting. Now, I know we will have that system R&R'd here in the coming months with our second phase. Is that correct, Mr. Bernkamp?
That's correct. And I believe Administrative Assistant Paula Lucero has a work session set up for the 31st with Wilden, I believe. Paula, is that correct?
Excuse me, that's where I had set it up, but I touched base with them yesterday, and that is not going to work for some of them to meet us in person. So I actually forwarded that to you to ask you whether you wanted to continue the meet in person or should we do another date. I kind of pushed it off onto you.
and that's fine. I'll get to it. But Commissioner, okay. You're correct. We are working towards getting the communication systems upgraded along with Windows and electrical systems.
And just for clarification, it's just mainly informational that I was asking these questions to get this out to the public so they know our intent is to correct this problem. We know it's a countywide issue for us and for the general public. We apologize, but we're getting there. So thank you. Anything else, Mr. Mestis?
No, that's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mrs. Leonetti from the Treasurer's Office, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning. I really don't have anything to report right now, except the only thing we're waiting for is the cage area to be plexiglass, and that's about it. They did say that they had the piece and they forgot to put it on, but I'm sure they probably used it elsewhere by now.
Maybe we can do the same thing that Ms. Amato is thinking of doing for the meantime. So, Mr. Dorenkamp, if you could check with Ms. Leonetti sometime when you have time, we can visqueen that or some sort of plastic.
Okay.
Any other elected officials?
If I may, let's follow up with the vendor on the plexiglass and see how far out so we can get a definite answer. I go back to a lot of the questions that we're receiving, and if the vendor for some reason cannot and will not be able to comply, you know, to obtain that plexiglass, that's going to put us, you know, we just cannot keep pushing it on and on and on. And I don't know what the solution would be, but I would agree that we need to have a little more of a deadline as to when he thinks we're going to be getting these materials installed.
I can tell you that Mr. Odom asked me to order a kind of a temporary situation, and I'm not sure whether it's come between last week and now, but it said that it would be shipping within a week. It's not the custom stuff that the clerks and the treasurers are looking at, but at least it's a temporary fix for Mr. Odom's situation. It's going to work well. And that was through Staples, I believe.
Okay, thank you. And I agree with Commissioner Lopez's sentiments. We need to move forward. So the post office did something with the plastic visqueen type thing, and it worked fine for them. So I'm sure we can get that accomplished and move forward. Okay, any other elected official on the line from the DA's office? Or Mr. Berker from our coroner's office? Very well. Unfinished business. I don't believe we have any. Move on to new business. Discussion and consideration of notice of intent to participate in November's election. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, it's required by statute that if any entity wants to place a ballot measure on an upcoming, for an upcoming election, that the clerk and recorder be noticed. And in front of you is our notice stating that we will be participating in that ballot measure, submitting a ballot measure for the upcoming election.
Any questions or comments from the board?
No questions, comments. I believe it's, I support that we move on this initiative.
Gentlemen, this is Peach. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I had a little discussion with Joseph yesterday in regards to the ballot title. And I believe he's already straightened that out as to how it is going to be named. And I just wanted to inform the board that every year the ballot titles restart with 1A, 1B, 1C. We also talked about the verbiage. I understand that there are so many statutes that have to be cited in that language, but to make it as simple as possible for the public to understand what they're voting for, the more limited the question is phrased, the better off we are. And we've gone over this year for years. But I do want you to know that whenever you do inform me, which is the deadline is coming up this week, I think, or next, Joseph has that date available. And all I need is that formal notification. Now, when you do draft a question, all I need for you to provide to me is your resolution number, and I will give the ballot title. I just want you to know, if you're going to only have one question, it's going to be 1A. Do not refer to it as 1B, so to avoid confusion.
Thank you for that, Mrs. Vigil. And of course...
Also, I think the best possible way to explain it is in the actual Tabor notice. Now, we don't really know how many people study that, but if we can make the question itself as simple as possible while referring to the correct statutes, like I said, we stand a better chance of getting the issue passed. Okay,
and,
go ahead.
And thank you for that, but I do believe we will schedule some work sessions with all the elected officials' offices, including yours for your expertise and your input, and we can all get together and I believe figure out the best way to draft this. I agree with you. Simple is better, but we also have to have the transparency to the voters, of course. But, you know, it's like the last time when we did this, we came together as a team, as a unit, Santa Maria County, and we passed the former 1B sales tax and the 1C that we're referring to now. But you're exactly right. You will name the ballot measure once it comes to you. But we would definitely need your input and all of our other elected officials' offices moving forward with this. So I believe we could set up a work session with that moving forward. Would that be good for you?
I think that's absolutely right. Because like you said, when we came together last time as a group of elected officials and we got it passed one time, whatever it's going to be is how it's going to be. But yeah, we do need everybody's input on how to phrase it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Dorenkamp, would you please read the short letter?
Dear Peach, Vigil, Los Angeles County Clerk and Recorder, please consider this letter as serving notice that Los Angeles County intends to participate in the November 3rd, 2020 election and will place a ballot measure asking voters to allow Los Angeles County to retain and appropriate 1B sales tax excesses. And then signature lines for each of the commissioners and a date line.
That's very well worded, but do leave the ballot title off because it's not going to be 1B unless you're gonna have multiple questions.
No, what I'm referencing, and perhaps this is something for legal counsel to jump in on, is that the measure will be asking the citizens to permit us to keep our sales tax 1B excesses. When we went for the sales tax, the ballot measure, I believe, was called 1B. So that's why I referenced 1B sales tax excesses. And Pam, when she drafts it, whoever we have drafted, if they say go ahead and leave that out, then we will leave that out.
I would prefer that, just so that we know before we do consult with legal counsel. And I believe it's in the Secretary of State's rules. Like I said, mentioned earlier, every year it starts over and over and over again. So if you're going to have multiple questions, I'll name it 1A, 1B, 1C. You can refer back to it in the ballot question if you want to, but it will not be titled that way if you're going to have only the one question.
So
it will definitely be 1A according to what I've always done.
Okay, yeah, and I'm not questioning it, but so what you're, and I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but I will a bit. So what you're saying is rather than having a state appropriate 1B sales tax excesses, just have it appropriate sales tax excesses.
I would state that in the phrase, in the ballot phrase itself.
Okay.
So you can quote it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why don't we just do it the 1% sales tax, because we have two different ones. So why don't we just do the 1% sales tax, because that's what it is.
We'll get, yeah, I agree. We'll get the...
Okay.
And still for the formal notification, from the formal notification, I don't even need to know all that yet. That'll happen in September. Your notification just has to state that you're going to participate in the election in November. It's real cut and dry, simple.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you can put in as many details as you want to, but...
But, Peach, are you saying that... Peach, are you saying that you want the letter to actually take off 1B off the letter that he's reading?
Probably. I think it's a more of a safety net to leave just leave that off. Just all I need to know is that you're going to participate.
And then maybe you can put 1% there instead of 1B.
Not on the letter. That's like I said, in September, we'll revisit that and we'll figure out how we want to do that. All the letter has to say is that you intend to participate in the November election. That's it.
Very well. Then I would make a recommendation which reads, please consider this letter as serving notice. Los Angeles County intends to participate in the November 3rd, 2020 election. I'll leave
Perfect.
It at that.
Yep. Real simple. That's all it has to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Entertain a motion with that amendment.
I make a motion for the consideration of notice of intent to participate in November election.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Consideration of public declaration letter for Stonewall Fire Protection District. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you is a request, a declaration letter for Stonewall Fire Protection District. Apparently they being the Stonewall Fire Protection District, approached our county attorney, Pam Nelson. And Pam, I will defer this to you as to exactly what this is about.
Thank you, Phil. I keep getting a notice I have unstable internet connection and I've been getting frozen a little bit. So if you lose me, just let me know and I'll repeat. But Commissioners, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, several meetings back, we were approached by Fisher's Peak Fire District and he explained at that time, you have a declaration showing that they are an entity that is allowed to apply for the FAA to be able to fly the drones for certain purposes, search and rescue, things along that nature. I believe at that time, he had also told the commissioners that there were other entities that would probably be applying as well. I was approached by Terry Trehill, who I believe is on with us today, for Stonewall Fire Protection District, asking that we draft the letter. This letter just basically says who they are, and then then I submit it to the FAA, and they, from what I'm told the last time it happened pretty quickly, they can move forward with getting their, basically like a pilot's license to fly them for emergency purposes.
Mr. Dorenkamp, would you mind? Go ahead, Chairman.
You froze up, Pam. Was that all you needed to say?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez, I apologize.
No. My internet as well is sending in messages that unstable internet connection here at the courthouse. So my only comment was going to be, Mr. Dorenkamp, would you read that letter for the record?
I will. July 21st, 2020, Federal Aviation Administration, Langston R. Majette, Acting Air Traffic Manager, Unmanned Aircraft Policy Team, AJV-B22, 600 Maryland Avenue Southwest, Suite 5E21TS, Washington, D.C., 20591, regarding public declaration letter for Stonewall Fire Protection District. Dear Mr. Majette, on behalf of the Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners, I am providing this public declaration letter for Stonewall Fire Protection District. Stonewall Fire Protection District is a political subdivision, PRIN, special district, in PRIN, Los Angeles County, Colorado, and therefore a political subdivision of the state of Colorado. Stonewall Fire Protection District is a public agency qualified to operate as a public aircraft operator under Title 49 USC 40102A, PRIN 41, in PRIN, PRIN C, in PRIN 40125, PRIN A, in PRIN 2, and 40125, PRIN B, in PRIN. The enabled authority allowing Stonewall Fire Protection District to operate as a public agency is CRS 32-1-103, 32-1-1001, and 32-1-1002. Stonewall Fire Protection District will only operate an unmanned aircraft for governmental functions, PRIN, fire and search, rescue operations, in PRIN for Title 49, USC 40125, PRIN A, in PRIN, PRIN 2, in PRIN, and Stonewall Fire Protection District as such will not operate the aircraft for commercial purposes, parenthesis compensation or higher, in compliance with Title 49 USC 40125, PRIN B, in PRIN. Point of contact for Stonewall Fire Protection District is Terry Trujillo, 719-680-0640. Thank you for your time and consideration in this matter. Sincerely, Pamela Nelson, Attorney for Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners, or BOCC, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp, for reading that. Do we have Terry Trujillo on the line? And you might have to press star 6 to unmute or your device. Okay, then maybe Ms. Nelson, the only question I have on this, and maybe you might know, may not know, is the length of this declaration. Do we do it annually? Does it go before every 4 years? Do we have anything like that through the FAA that they require? You must be frozen, Pam.
I just caught the very tail end of that. Can you say it again?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if what's the length of this declaration from the commissioners? Do we do this annually? Is it every a couple of years for this fire protection district? Is it annual? What do we know the length of the term?
No, I think we just have to do it the one time, and then it's sent to the FAA, which allows them to give the license to the agency and then it's up to them as far as, I don't know if they have to renew the license or not, but my understanding is that we write the letter the one time and that should be the end of our obligation.
Okay, good. I just didn't want to have any liability if they're out of compliance with the FAA or the county. Okay, any other questions or comments?
That shouldn't fall on us. All we're saying is they are, as of this date and time, a special district in our county.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions or comments? Entertain a motion, please.
I'll make the motion to approve the public declaration letter for Stonewall Fire Protection District.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez. Commissioner Felix Lopez must be having troubles with his internet service. He gave me a thumbs up. Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I'm giving you two thumbs up.
Okay.
Consideration of public declaration letter for Trinidad Amethyst District. So I believe this will be a repeat. So I believe we can just read the letter with the changes of the entity.
Commissioners, I'm going to skip the addressing part of the letter. Public declaration letter for Trinidad Ambulance District. Dear Mr. Majette, on behalf of the Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners, I'm providing this public declaration letter for the Trinidad Ambulance District. Trinidad Ambulance District is a political subdivision, print special district imprint of Los Angeles County, Colorado, and therefore a political subdivision of the state of Colorado. Trinidad Ambulance District is a public agency qualified to operate as a public aircraft operator under Title 49 U.S.C. 40102A, print 41 in print, print C in print, 40125 print A in print 2, and 40125 print B in print. The enabling authority allowing Trinidad Ambulance District to operate as a public agency is CRS 32-1-103, 32-1-1001, and 32-1-1007. Trinidad Ambulance District will only operate an unmanned aircraft for governmental functions, PRIN, emergency service and search and rescue operations per Title 49 USC 40125 PRIN A and PRIN, PRIN 2 and PRIN, and Trinidad Ambulance District as such will not operate the aircraft for commercial purposes, parenthesis compensation or higher in parenthesis, in compliance with Title 49 USC 40125 PRIN B in PRIN. Point of contact for Trinidad Ambulance District is Gabriel Morano. Thank you for your time and consideration in this matter. Sincerely, Pamela Nelson, attorney for Los Angeles County, BOCC.
Is there anyone from the ambulance district that would like to make a comment? I'm on, but I don't have any comments, sir. Thank you, Mr. Moreno. Entertain a motion at this time.
I make a motion to approve the public declaration letter for Trinidad Ambulance District.
Second.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, consideration of fairgrounds policy addendum number one. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you is our proposed addendum one to our Los Angeles County fairgrounds policies and procedures. This comes about because of the COVID infectious diseases that's running rampant through the country and our desire to try and open up the fairgrounds to appointment only and other type of events. And being such, it was felt that we would need to add some language to our current fairgrounds policy to kind of let those who are going to be using the facilities, I should pluralize that, know what will be expected of them.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Can you read that letter so that the public that's on can hear?
I will do that. Addendum number one to Los Angeles County's fairgrounds policies and procedures and facilities rental information. In addition to all other terms and conditions listed in Los Angeles County fairgrounds policies and procedures and facilities rental information document, lessee will abide by the following addendum. Lessee will be responsible for complying with state and local public health orders, including following the recommendations regarding social distancing, signage requirements, and cleaning and disinfecting procedures during the event, and will properly and thoroughly disinfect the rented facility both before and after usage. A $100 deposit will be required in addition to the deposit required in Appendix A for the Fairgrounds Policies and Procedures and Facilities Rental Information Document. Both deposits can be used for cleaning slash disinfecting the facility if the procedures we referenced above are not complied with. To the fullest extent permitted by law, the facility leasee slash event sponsor shall identify and hold harmless Los Angeles County, its officers, agents, employees, and insurers from and against all claims, damages, losses, expenses, and demands, including court costs, attorney's fees, and expenses due to the coronavirus or any other disease. At the time the lessee submits the, quote, facility rental agreement, end quote, to Los Angeles County and prior to using any facility, lessee must provide to Los Angeles County a Los Angeles slash Huerfano County's Public Health Department approval indoor slash outdoor events plan. And it's the signature lines, henceforth, for those leasing and for our employee who oversees those leases.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Do we have any questions or comments? I'd just like to make a comment that it's hopefully this will help facilitate and safety for our folks that are renting our properties and that we can get open back up again. So I think this is a necessary amendment, addendum to our policy. And I thank all those involved who worked hard on getting this put together. So without any other questions or comments, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve addendum one to Los Angeles County's Fairgrounds Policies and Procedures and Facilities Rental Information.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item E, consideration of OBCC number 6947 to Jeremy Sumpner for $343.20.
This is Joseph again. It is a valid refund. It's for overpayment of tax.
Thank you, Mr. Mestis. Any questions from the board?
No questions.
Yeah, motion at this time.
Yes, I make a motion to refund OBCC number 6947 to Jeremy Sumpner for $343.20.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Finance matters. Considerations of bills and payroll for the first half of July 2020. Mrs. Coberly. Mrs. Coberly, are you on the line?
Sorry. I was talking without muting it. Payroll as of July 15th for Los Angeles County is $185,487.52. Bills paid on July 1st. For Los Angeles goes $23,618.07. I think that's all for Los Angeles County.
Any questions or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the bills and payroll for the first half of July 2020.
Second. Sorry about that.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Acting in its capacity as the Board of Human Services, consideration of bills and payroll for the first half of July 2020. Mrs. Cobley.
Department of Human Services payroll as of July 15th was $70,729.10. Bills paid on July 10th was $1,896.75. And that's it for Department of Human Services.
Entertain a motion at this time.
Motion to approve the second half DHS payroll.
Second.
Commissioner Pete Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. I believe it's the first half, not the second half.
First half, sorry.
Okay, and now at this time, we're going to entertain a motion to suspend this meeting and take a 10-minute recess so we can start up the Department of Human Services meeting as the Board of County Commissioners acting in that capacity. And then we will come back into this for executive session after that meeting is done. Do I hear a motion, please?
Commissioner Petey Lopez, you broke up really bad. Can you repeat, please? Commissioner, I think we can assume he made a motion to go
second.
Into. Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And like I said, we'll take a 10-minute recess and convene back at 10 a.m. I believe it's the, I don't know if it's the same phone number or not, the same Zoom as if Mr. Bernkamp, you know?
For the work session, it's going to be a different Zoom link, and I sent that to everyone this morning.
For DHS?
And then the...
The DHS should be the same.
Oh, excuse me, DHS. I forgot about DHS. It is the same.
So we'll take a 10-minute recess, and we'll convene in 10 minutes for the DHS meeting. Thank you. The Board of Human Services... Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2020. I call this meeting to order. Commissioner Lopez, would you please lead us in an invocation? You might be muted.
Actually, from looking at the screen, it looks like his computer is frozen.
Luis, did you hear that? It looks like Commissioner Felix Lopez's computer's froze.
Or networks. Yes, I did. Let's give a couple minutes before we start here. We can see if his connection gets better here. I know Ms. Amato just recycled or rebooted the Wi-Fi a couple minutes ago, so.
I'm on my phone in addition to my computer, and my computer just completely kicked me out of the meeting and says that it's reconnecting.
Okay. Okay, this is Luis. I got kicked off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Luis, I can hear you.
Do we have Phoenix back on yet?
Okay, I think I'm here.
There you are.
Yeah, I got kicked off. I mean, my internet went down. So I'm on the phone now.
Hey, Tony, are you on?
Tony's logging back in. Give him a second.
Okay, Commissioner Hess, are you on? Commissioner Hess. Commissioner Hess, can you hear me? I think he might be muted or on the manager side. Go ahead and speak, Tony.
Yeah, I'm on Pam's phone, just a sec.
I'm going to pull it up on this one. Oh, I hate this.
The internet completely failed. If anybody can hear me, it's telling us here that no internet access available.
Paula, did you pay that bill?
I did pay the bill, I promise.
Commissioners, it must be isolated to second floor to what you guys are using, because it's still working here on first floor.
Okay.
Or at least in my office it is.
We're just waiting for Tony to get on by phone.
Is Jody Amato still on? Because maybe she can reset it, because it's in her office. The Wi-Fi is.
She did reset it for us once already.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we need to have Hayden come and look at that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, there you are.
Right, I'm on the other phone.
Okay, let's start over and call this meeting to order. Commissioner Felix Lopez, would you please lead us in the invocation?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Our God and Father, we need more of you in these challenging times. Continue to give us the wisdom and knowledge to navigate one day at a time. May we decrease that you may increase. It is only with you that we can make a difference. We welcome your guidance and presence here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Hess, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hess?
I'm here, I think.
Yes, you are. Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I am here. Any changes to the agenda, Mr. Aragon?
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Yes, sir. Under the executive session this morning, CRS 246-402-4F, personnel matters, I'd like to add a subsection to that, subsection B for administrative leave for discussion at the exec session.
Administrative leave.
And I apologize for that oversight. That was my fault.
Very well. I hear a motion, please.
I make a motion to approve the agenda with requested changes by Mr. Aragon.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item 2, regular meeting minutes, June 16th of 2020. We have no questions or concerns. Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the regular meeting minutes from June 16, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, special meeting, June 26, 2020. Without questions or concerns, we will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from the special meeting on June 26, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Director of Reports, Mr. Aragon.
Again, good morning, everyone. So today, just a few items. First off, under item one, coronavirus mitigation, last month we in the special meeting approved for a phase one reopen of the DHS offices in regards to our family reunification meetings. And also as per CDHS guidelines to begin at least the process of doing face-to-face interviews with our eligibility unit. However, we have still had authority by CDHS to do that remotely, so we continue to do that. Just reporting that we did commence this with no issues. Under guidance with Ms. Kim Chavez, our emergency management team manager and our team here, we've had a really successful reopen with the procedural operations that were put down and approved by the health department. We again are still utilizing outdoor space at this point because of the weather to do those reunification meetings, but we have had instances where we've had to allow folks in and we have had great success with that. So just reporting on that at this point, screening is proving highly effective in allowing the public in safely and without concern. One item I did have in this report was that we were awaiting installation of a kiosk for the front door. I was informed post this report that we can actually get that over here, so we'll be moving that over ourselves to get that installed sometime this week. Item two, budget update. Nearly all state and federal allocations for fiscal year 2021 at the state level have been received. I've been working with Ms. Coberly in ready to commence a budget preparation. I know we'll be working on that for a new outline of a new budget with the county annual 2021 budget. This new budget, and Ms. Coberly, I know if you're on the line, you can speak to this. We plan to build this directly into our accounting system to ensure accuracy and mitigation of duplication work. So I began a preliminary review of all allocations and required match by the county. These figures will decrease in many areas as some allocations for the new fiscal year have decreased because of the state budget cuts. However, the previous spending in these areas does not indicate a loss as many of those programs we have seen the decrease and are often underspent. Child welfare still remains a primary concern in budgeting. However, streamlining services and utilizing maximizing dollars better will help offset this cutback. So. Finally, additionally, another primary concern in regards to the funding shortfall is still centered around the 1.9% provider rate increase that was cut. This was brought to your attention last month. I do know we had a modification to the 1.9% provider cut rate in our single entry point program. They actually decreased that down to a 1%. Am I correct, Lori, in that?
Yes.
Okay, so we're not looking at a 1.9%, so that will help offset some of that loss. We won't be taking such a hard impact in there. And then I'm still awaiting word on a final dollar figure for the cooperative management program. This funds our truancy program. We have not gotten a final allocation from the state on that piece. Once that comes in, I will give a further report on that. And then finally, Colorado Works Block Grant, if the board will recall, last month we did an approval to provide our child care facilities within Los Angeles County with grants under our TANF eligible programming. We worked with the state in order to qualify these folks, and so below on this director's report is listed a list of those who were in receipt of those, and I'll be glad to go through those. So our first recipient was South Central Council of Governments Early Learning Center. They received a $28,000 grant. Trinidad Youth Club received a $14,000 grant. That's supposed to be $14,000, not $1,400. RM Sarah Head Start received $49,000. Primero School District Puppyland received $4,950. And Peas in the Pod Child Care received $3,050. And what we did in order to equalize this distribution board was we actually took the total dollar amount that we were allocating towards those grants. We took the number of students within each of the organizations. We configured a head count, and then we provided a dollar amount based on the head count so that we could equally distribute amount for each child. We did set down additional guidelines with the folks. They signed off on that, knowing that they will have quarterly reporting to maintain eligibility for future grants. This will also help keep us accountable on how those funds are being utilized, and it does have to be utilized towards the enhancement of the child care itself. So capital projects, building maintenance, things like that, if it is enhancing the safety of the child care, absolutely, but if it's to add or beautify, we are being a little more particular with that. So we are scrutinizing that piece. We really want it to impact the child care overall.
I pardon the interruption, Mr. Aragon, but I want to give you a big shout out because initially I had a question. How did you distribute the funds and the equality that you put in there per pupil FTE distribution? Just amazingly wonderful. So congratulations to you and your team on that. There is not going to be any, well, you know, you got more than me. The equal dollar amount per headcount is one of the formulas that I just, I applaud you for doing that.
Thank you, sir. And I will let the board know that we did on Wednesday the 15th invite each of our recipients in individually to the lobby. We did present them with a certificate and their checks, and we will be doing a press release on that along with some of the photos in order to celebrate this piece. It was well received. And although we couldn't fund all of the dollar amount that they requested, each of the recipients were extremely happy that they received something, and it's definitely going to enhance the child care that's provided within Los Angeles County.
Mr. Aragon, I also like to commend you and your staff for establishing the equal opportunity for these entities to receive funding on a level playing field, but I also would like to commend on the quarterly reporting. That is very huge, in my opinion, that we are able to see the reports, not so much as the Department of Human Services, but as the Board of County Commissioners and how we're distributing this money and co-hab habitating together, working together with this TANF funds. And I believe it'll also be great for you to submit that to the Colorado Works program so they can see exactly where these dollars are being spent. So I commend you on that as well.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, and I just want to actually give a quick thank you to Ms. Teresa Garrison and Mr. Greg Henry. They really put forth a exorbitant amount of effort and time in getting this taken care of, working with our state agents, working to get everything up to where it needs to be in order to distribute this out. And so the process was a wonderful learning experience for all of us, I think, and we feel like we were able to to provide beyond our providers, with Puppyland being our first non-provider child care facility. And so should this funding be available next year, we hope that we see more and more of the community partners who do child care reach out to us as well. We really want to maximize those dollars within Los Angeles County as best as possible.
Anything else for your director's report, Mr. Eric?
No, that's all, sir.
Okay. Item four, new business. Consideration of caseload counts by activity by and activity by program. Mr. Erdman.
Yes, with me today, commissioners, I have my supervisory staff. However, I will report Mr. Bertolino is entertaining one of our state agents regarding some compliance pieces, so he is not with us today. So I will have Lori report on her APS numbers, but do you mind reporting on the SEP as well?
No, that's fine.
All right.
So good morning, commissioners. This is Lori Ringo, and I just wanted to report on adult protection cases. You are going to see we're having a slight increase. For the month of June, we had 37 cases, and then for the month of June, we had 9 referrals. So those are the numbers for adult protection. And then I'm going to move along to single entry point. And in single entry point, our numbers are pretty much the same. For Los Animas and Huerfano County, we had 250 HCBS CBD cases, 167 HCBS CBD CDAS cases, 24 HCBS EBD long-term home health cases, for a total of 441 for HCBS community mental health CMHS cases. We had 20 for HCBS CMHS CDAS cases. We had 9 for HCBS CMHS long-term home health. We had 2. Which totaled to 31 in that category. We had 4 long-term home health only cases, so we had 476 cases. We do also, in addition, have 16 home care allowance cases and 2 children's HCBS cases. In the month of June, we had 12 HCBS assessment approvals. We had 2 long-term home health approvals, and then with denials, we had 1 HCBS denial, we had 1 nursing home denial, so we had a total of 16 assessments.
And
questions?
Commissioners, I do apologize. I just realized in my packet I did not send the SEP. Did you receive the SEP case numbers for the month?
No, I don't think so. I was scrolling up and down trying to see.
I apologize for that. I thought that got sent as part of the packet. I will make sure that you get a copy of that. But those are the total numbers for the month.
And there's little change.
Okay, just forward those to the board if you have time, Mr. Erdman.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Ringo.
Okay. Next,
go
we
ahead,
have our Ms. Valerie Eklund.
Good morning. Have a total of 299 TANF cases. Of the 299, we have 106 that are current support and 193 that are arrears only. We have the non-4A cases, a total of 643. 100 of those are current only cases. So bringing our total count to 1,042. In our collections for the TANF collections, we had $9,530.22. And for our non-4A, we had $266,302.54, bringing a total collection for the month of $275,832.76. A good portion of that was from the stimulus collections. All of the stimulus money went out to the families. Our year-to-date, the TANF, $94,464.83, and the non-4A were total was $690,887.18, bringing our total collections year to date to $784,552.01. We did have 14 new cases in the month of May, which the majority of those were TANF cases. We had 160 locates, 63 income withholdings, and two modifications that were completed.
Well, if I may, is this traditionally the jump that we had on the non-4A collections from 423,000 the previous reporting month to $690,000? That's quite a jump. Is that something that at this time of the year, is that traditional or something happened in there?
That is due to the stimulus payments.
All right.
So we anticipated, Commissioner Felix Lopez, a large jump in the child collection, child support collection from the month of May to June, or April to May, excuse me, because they did intercept all of the stimulus payments that went out as part of the economic stimulus package. So those interceptions were then applied towards that. So this is kind of an uncommon piece for us to see such a large jump.
So it was an automatic interception by the state that was actually posted as a gain for, I understand that. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep. And also one more small question on this whole thing. The arrears cases, you're reporting 193. I know you probably explained this to us, Ms. Eklund, before, but walk us through the process of what those 193 cases that are in arrears, what is their, basically their opportunity to be brought up to current, and how, what is the lagging time on that?
Don't have any set timeline on that. We basically will just enforce the orders that we did have in place. These are cases where there were current support due and the non-custodial party did not pay that. And so we will continue to use whatever enforcement remedies we have available to us to try to get those arrears collected.
Okay.
And keep in mind, Commissioner, that those arrears cases, they can range from minimal amounts that are due and we just can't locate the non-custodial parent that's due. But some of those arrear cases, you know, realistically, we look at what the amount of total child support arrears totals, and most likely we would not, even with the efforts that we have in place, be able to collect on all of those. That is a real piece that I want the board to understand, that we are limited because some of the amounts in back child support and arrears that are due are so great, we will never be able to collect on all of that. And that's just a real piece.
All right, thank you so much. And then my last question on that, Mr. Aragon or Ms. Eklund, on the income withholding issued, I mean, I see the previous month was 25 and we went up to 63. Is that tied up to the stimulus dollars that were also issued?
No, that's a whole different issue. We have located employers for that many non-custodial parties and have issued wage withholdings to the employers.
Thank you. The success rate of those is pretty, I mean, if you would say 90%?
No, not quite that high.
Very good.
Leave by the time we can get an actual withholding from the employer.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Eklund.
Okay. Next, we have child welfare, and I believe Ms. Kendall. Mrs. Kendall, are you on the line?
I am, thank you. So for the month of June, we had a total of 16 referrals that we investigated. There are currently 19 children in the home that we're working with. 23 children remain placed out of the home of the parents. So that brings us to a total of 42 children that we've served. Continues to be 12 children placed in town, and currently we have 11 placed out of Los Angeles County.
Ms. Kendall, how are you with this pandemic? How are you managing the visits for those children placed out of town? And I see, you know, the number has pretty much stayed consistent.
Yes, it has. I think what we're struggling with right now is re-engaging the families, because we were doing virtual visits, and that was tough for families to deal with that, you know, in addition to having their kids removed from their home, just seeing their kids a couple times a week on a camera. But we're trying to get them re-engaged, and we're struggling with that. We had worked it out to where we would transport one client per day out of the county and follow the CDC guidelines with wearing a mask and taking temperatures. But unfortunately, families, parents are just, we're having a hard time locating them. They don't follow through with visits, so we're struggling at that end.
Okay. Maybe more of a comment than a question. For the number of number of children served in January, you had we had 50, and at the end of June we have 42. Is it the reunification through this pandemic? You think that families came together and not as many children? You know, I mean, that's only eight, a difference of eight, but nonetheless, what do you attribute that, if you have any idea?
You know, I would like to think that that it's more on a positive note, but unfortunately, I think because schools are not in session, daycares have just recently opened up. You know, if you look at our referrals over the last couple months since January, I mean, January, February, and March, we were in the middle to upper 20s, and now we're down to 16.
Right. Makes sense. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't have a question, Ms. Kendall. I just have a comment that to reach out to the health department if you're requiring any testing before meeting with the families or the children meeting with families. They have been now certified to do COVID testing, so you can reach out to the health department if you need to. Another resource for you guys to use. So good job. Thank you, Ms. Kendall.
Thank you.
Okay. And finally, we have Ms. Teresa Garrison with our eligibility unit here to discuss our eligibility and income maintenance programming.
Good morning, commissioners, and everybody else that's online. For the month of June, for ANDSSICS, we have two ongoing. ANDSSICS-HCA, we have one. ANDSSICS-PNA, three. Basic cash assistance, 121, BCCP, 1, burial, 6, buy-in WAD, we have any, CHP Plus is 76, CHP Plus prenatal, 3, DAC, 11, eligible needing newborn, 66, food stamps, 2,167. CES, 8. HCBS, CHCBS, 2. HCBS, CMHS, 27. HCBS, DD, 26. HCBS, EBD, 335. HCBS, SLS, 29. LIS, MAGI Adult, 1,815, MAGI Children, 937, MAGI Parent Caretaker Cases, 425, MAGI Pregnant, 43, Nursing Facility Hospital, 300% Institutionalized, 75, OAPA Medicaid, 119, OAPA HCA, 1, OAP HCPA, 1, OAPA PNA, 3, OAPB, 39, OAPB PNA, 1, OAP Med A, 40, OAP Med B, 2, QI1, 41, QMB, 503, SLIMB, 134, SSI Mandatory, 392,
SSIHCA to state AND 50, transitional food stamps 7, and transitional Medicaid 182 for a total of 7,728. Any questions?
Yes, Ms. Garrison, if I may. So the basic cash assistance, Colorado Works, 121, I guess my question, are those the families and or individuals that receive the stipend from the local DHS as well as the state?
Are you talking about the $500 payment that we sent out?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's correct.
Okay. And then maybe just an observation, when I look at the food stamps total number from prior to the pandemic, there is only, the numbers are 198 more families. Do you see that stabilizing anytime soon?
Actually, I'm waiting for it to blow up because now at the end of this month, we're no longer going to have the unemployment $600 payment that they had. That's okay. Ending at the end of this month. So I'm actually anticipating a huge increase in our food stamp cases.
Okay. And can you just elaborate on the nursing facility hospital, 300% institutionalized nursing facilities, 300%. What exactly does that mean, Ms. Garrison?
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at, it's nursing facility / hospital, 300% institutionalized, and then in parentheses, nursing facility, and then the county's 75.
Those are all our clients that are currently in the nursing home here in Trinidad, Colorado, and they have to meet the percentage in order for us to be able to provide them with their care there, and that's how many people we do have on our caseload there at the nursing home.
So 75, but I guess my question is, what is the 300% hospital, how do you come up with that 300%?
That's the NEED standard that we use.
Oh, okay. So it's a formula that you use internally to determine eligibility.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say, commissioners, that I am concerned, as Ms. Garrison indicated, with the PUA unemployment piece going away, that's going to be a big concern for us. I believe we will see a larger influx. We anticipated that back in May. We didn't see as quite as large an influx due to, I think, that piece being put in place at the time. But with that ending now, July 31, those folks who haven't returned to work will no longer have that in place, and so we may see a large influx of that food and potentially
med as well.
Coming in the door. And until an additional stimulus package, should that be put in place, which I know that the federal government's looking at right now, we are going to be seeing an influx of that need coming in.
Mr. Aragon, what I'm understanding on the federal level as well is a lot of folks are offer their job to come back, and yet they stayed on the $600 a week payments that they're getting from the federal government. So how are we going to be setting up now for fraud with this possible increase to see if these folks were available to return to their jobs? If at all, do we have anything in place, if possible, to prevent any additional fraud?
So I will tell you this, commissioners, and Commissioner Luis Lopez, that's a really good question. One of the things internally that we've actually looked at with this public assistance unemployment benefits that came down were a lot of folks who were declared self-employed and were not required to meet kind of the traditional unemployment qualification standards, there is a high potential for fraud. We've already discovered some of that within our child support unit. We've already identified across some of that in our income maintenance, our cash assistance programs. And so at the local level, we are trying to investigate as much as possible. At the state level, however, there has not been a whole lot of discussion regarding fraud from this piece. You know, HCPF, or our healthcare and policy finance group with CDHS, is aware that they need to get some more parameters put around this should another stimulus package come down. So I anticipate that the state will be putting down something, but unfortunately, even with our traditional fraud, it's really left at the local county level to contend with. And so we are trying to build in components to identify and investigate fraudulent activity. It is becoming increasingly more difficult with situations like this stimulus unemployment because, again, like with our child support, what we discovered were folks who haven't worked in years all of a sudden are collecting an unemployment check declaring that they are self-employed and have lost income, and because they actually did not, the state did not identify an interception option for that. And so the local level counties are the ones that discovered that. It kind of came out of this region, the Southeast region. Myself and Bent County were in discussion over it. Bent County is kind of the lead on that. And so we have begun that process of trying to intercept and get that under control as well.
Now, I'm wondering if possibly some of the CARES Act funding would be eligible for DHS for fraud prevention. You might want to check with Mr. Dornkamp after the meeting and see.
And that would be something that I'd be very interested to have a discussion with Mr. Dornkamp about, because one of the issues is that, and I will say that we're lucky enough that we do have somebody in-house who handles fraud. Many of our counterparts within the Southeast region do not even have a fraud investigator. And so the fact that we have somebody in-house, but one person, even with assistance from some of our income maintenance group, is just not sufficient enough to handle the amount of fraud. I don't know if I reported to the board last month, but I will report that CDHS has given down orders at the federal level that in order to continue with a lot of the cash assistance programs, they really want the state fraud rate to drop below 3%. Colorado currently sits at 26% in fraud rate. And so they're really pushing at the county level and really trying to get the Office of Economic Security are really working to develop processes and streamline ability for counties to better identify fraud. But the issue is, again, it's a lack of staffing and it's a lack of training in order to really infiltrate that realm. So we are working with that office directly. I met with the director of the Office of Economic Security week last to discuss that situation, and so we'll be doing some in-house training virtually with them on fraud, and we're going to have all of our units a part of that, because I think it really starts with the caseworkers and case managers as well, because as they're working cases, if they're aware of those fraudulent activities or to what to look for, then they're easily reported to our fraud investigator to move forward with. So that's where we're starting at, is we're working to get the actual entire DHS unit cross-trained in those areas so that they know what to be looking for when they're working their cases on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you. I think that's of the highest priority, especially as this country is trying to move out of a support role for the entire folks that have been out of work and getting those folks back to work. We just don't need to be at a local level not protecting our taxpayers and their dollars that we spend. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Were there any other questions regarding our cash assistance programs?
You know, not a question, Mr. Aragon, but a comment. I do. I was at a meeting with CCI last week, and I believe also a representative from the governor's office, in which someone mentioned, and Mr. Dornkamp, correct me if I don't want to quote the actual amount, but I believe it was several millions of dollars that would be available for counties' eligibility that needed, that had additional needs to meet some of these mandates. I need to go back and look at my notes, but I think it was $17 million that I heard that you can apply through either, and I believe it was DOLA, through the Resiliency Office to get individuals and agencies and entities back on track. But let me go back and I'll take a look at my notes and see exactly what I'm a little more exact information on that.
That would be greatly appreciated if you have any information on that. As again, we definitely need to beef that up. You know, we've actually been successful though with our fraud investigator, Mr. Sanchez, and Mr. Greg Henry, who's kind of backfilled in some areas with that, especially within our non-emergency medical transportation programming, which is now moving at a state level, so that will no longer be a piece that we handle. But I would venture to guess that in the past 3 months, we've identified close to $15,000 to $16,000 in fraud activity that we've been able to shut down in the non-emergency medical piece. We've also been able to shut down some of the food fraud as well. So we do know that it exists. It's just identifying how to find it and how to move forward with it. And so we're building those processes now that have not been here prior. So we are getting that in control. But any assistance that we can get will definitely be helpful.
I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Okay, any more questions for Mrs. Garrison under the caseload counts? Thank you, Mrs. Garrison. We'll entertain a motion at this time.
Motion to approve the caseload counts.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Ruiz Lopez.
Yes. Item B, consideration of department logo and mission statement. Commissioner Aragon.
Yes, sir. Commissioners, in front of you today, one of the things that I have identified in two capacities. Number one, as I have navigated the last 5 months of employment with DHS and working with the state level agencies, the Colorado Department of Human Services has an overarching mission statement. However, I really truly feel that Los Angeles County DHS, in conjunction as part of a county entity, really needs to begin branding itself and identifying itself to be more transparent within the community. In front of you today are some art designs regarding a logo, and my request to the board is to consider whether or not we develop a mission, vision, or core value component to that in conjunction with that. Many of our community counterparts in other counties also have this similar situation, and they are also either have developed that or in the process of developing it. And so in front of you today are three logos that were designed, provided to our staff for feedback, and these were the top choices. We gave them an option of five. I believe this was also sent out to some of the Los Angeles County Administration to review. And so I'm just putting it forth today for some discussion and consideration of if this is a path we would like to move forward with.
Any questions or thoughts or comments from the board?
Mr. Aragon, I know on one of your recommended prototypes, and on all of them, you have Los Angeles County, you know, the actual county logo in the center, and then surrounded by something that will represent the Human Services Department. On one of them, I'm looking at the first one that you have here, a world map. Can you walk us through the intent and what the significance of each one of these what do we call these puzzle pieces represent?
Absolutely, sir. So in this realm here, this logo design or this graphic design, let's start with the world map. You know, part of what DHS does is really try to have an impact, not just on a local level, but on an international level. We build one community up, we build all communities. The next two items are kind of our child welfare component with an outreach of reunification with families and just supporting a child-parent relationship and really building that relationship back up to be what a parent-child relationship should be. Next to that in the red item is our Apple, which serves as part of our food assistance, some of our cash assistance benefits, as we do a lot of outreach with different components. Our next one is a hand with hearts in it. That is really to signify the outreach that we have and the love for the community that we put forth. Additionally, next to that is a butterfly. This piece was changed out from an original graphic that was sent out. Originally it had, I believe, raindrops or water droplets. We chose to change this out with a butterfly because part of what we do is we carry some of these from death to dying, and the butterfly is a significant piece. It's a piece of symbol of resurrection, and because we do provide assistance with burial, and we do provide assistance through our single entry point and end of life services, we felt it really important to signify that piece as part of this. And then finally at the top is our accessibility or ADA component, meaning that we provide services to all that are in need, regardless of their situation or disability. We're really to serve the community as a whole.
Thank you.
And of course, the puzzle pieces really are just trying to signify that we tie all of them together.
Mr. Erickson, how many of the staff were they all able to look at it, you said, and these were the top three, all the department employees?
Correct, and they are in order. So the puzzle pieces with the graphics interior, the round one was our top. The second one with puzzle pieces was our second in line, and then the heart at the end was our third option by vote.
Okay. And throughout the state, if you've done some research, if you had time to, all of our human resources departments are involved underneath the county governments. In any research, have you discovered that the Department of Human Services logo is different than the logo of the county that they're in?
Yes, some are. Some incorporate the county logo individually or as its own. And then there are other counties that incorporate their own logo that don't signify the county in any capacity other than by name. And so what we're trying to do is identify how to signify both our tie-in as a part of the county. We are a county entity. But also to signify that our services extend beyond what I think most people identify social services or human services to be. I think there's a kind of a misconception of human services across all parts of the world and what we are capable of doing. And so in that, I think as part of this process of branding, it's also to create that transparency and providing an identity to the department, so it allows the staff to really identify with the services that they provide on a day-to-day basis. You know, the way I see DHS is we provide services, yes, but we're also one of the larger economic stimulus for the community. We put food in people's tummies. We give money to them to purchase that food, which goes to our stores, so it drives the economics of the community. We drive the medical. We drive many different components of the economy itself. So those many facets come together as part of what DHS does. And so having that identity really helps promote to the community at large really what you as the board and what the county as a whole does to support these services that go out the door. So it really ties everybody together.
Okay, thank you. And another final question I have. When your, I guess, survey would be called of your, the three that are selected here, or of any of the ones that you were that were selected, did you have any opposition to coming up with a separate logo that the regular county has, which you have encompassed in the middle of this, but was there any opposition from any of the staff from adding the rest of the puzzle pieces around the regular logo?
Within DHS, I didn't feel that, and even from the county, I didn't feel that there was any kind of pushback or concern. I think one of the only concerns that I received was that, you know, what opening, are we opening a door for other entities within the county to, and Mr. Dornkamp, I know you're online. I know that was a concern, and I can validate that concern. I agree with you, and that's why I bring this to the board. If this is something we don't see as a piece that we need to continue with, I will disengage it. However, I do believe that it, you know, DHS has kind of been a hideaway for so long, and I'd really like to see this division of the county and other divisions of the county kind of move forward into a new realm of transparency and openness within the community. And so, again, I don't feel like I've had pushback on it. I just think that there's been some shared concern that, you know, will all entities within the county desire this? And if so, how do we manage that piece?
Yeah, I was just pretty much referring to the staff with DHS, but that's fine. I personally like this idea. I think it shows ownership, and it incorporates the county and DHS as one, which has been the biggest problem we've had over the years, is from the olden days of the state-run agency to the county-run agency. And there's been some animosity over the years that DHS is on their own island, like you said, and the county is the county and DHS is DHS. I like the idea that encompasses. However, I would like to also offer that same opportunity to other entities in the county, such as our Road and Bridge or our Assessor's and Treasurer's Office, if they were to want to type of a logo that would indicate what they do, similar to what the Health Department does with their Bi-County Health District, with the same logo in there, Los Angeles County and the Spanish Peaks. And I think it shows ownership for our community, but it also ties everything together. And I just would think that we'd have to also see the mission statement, which you're speaking about, in conjunction with this, that hasn't been developed as of yet, right?
Correct. No, that would be a process that would take some time, because it would be engaging all of the staff within DHS and also the county to really come up with a unified statement that really indicates both what the county services are through via DHS and how that impacts the county at large. And so we'd really like to identify if the county has, you know, a standalone mission statement. Do we adopt that as that piece, or do we look at identifying a different capacity, since we serve a similar yet different function to the county? And so that would take some time as well. But I also think that that helps drive an organization, just so that, you know, in my experience working with any organization, you know, it defines who that organization is as a whole. It defines the processes and the services that are provided by the staff, and it gives staff a basis to work from in knowing that this is what they're trying to do. Their mission is this. The vision statement's really around what within the next 5 to 10 years do we see DHS growing to? Where do we see that going? And then obviously adopting core values to function by, meaning that, you know, we are transparent, we are honest, we are, you know, customer service oriented, that we're really here for the community. Those pieces are important as well, because it builds trust amongst staff, it builds trust amongst partners, and it builds trust amongst the community. And so again, these are pieces that I'm really trying to put in place to help drive DHS into the spotlight along with the county. And I do want to add one thing though. Part of the reason why we wanted to incorporate the county logo in this is because since my installation in this position, everyone within the county, from Mr. Dorenkamp down, has been absolutely instrumental in making many of the changes to help us get on the right path here at DHS. And so, you know, it is important that I acknowledge those folks and the support that they've given to us over this time, because it has been, it's been a lot of work in 5 months, I will be perfectly honest, and we've got a long way to go. And so without that support from the board and from the county, we would not be where we're at right now.
And one last thing that I have, that I would recommend that, in my opinion, that a mission statement would be worked with Mr. Dorenkamp and our administration staff for a basic Los Angeles County type overview or generic or general beginning statement, and then add to that of your departments that you represent. I think that would envelop everyone together collectively, and then each area of the department that we have can, if they choose to, develop what their vision is, their core values for their individual departments, such as Road and Bridge and such sorts. But in my opinion, I like this idea.
I'd like to see it all presented, like I believe, at one time. And that's be something good for me that we can, instead of in pieces, it's easier for me personally to have the whole baseball team on the field, if you may. So.
I will put forth to the board that should this be something that the county itself would like to investigate, I am more than willing to help facilitate some of those discussions around the development of mission and vision statements for either the county as a whole or unified piece or departmental, but also assist with any kind of graphic design or art design in regards to specific logos to the different departments. So. I'd be willing to do that outreach within the county to help give back with the support that I've gotten. So whatever I can do to help facilitate that, I'm open to that as well.
Mr. Erica, you know, something else that might really be really an opportunity for us to understand is how many counties are basically, in a sense, from the DHS perspective, operating under the kind of the prototype of this logo type thing, mission vision statement. I would imagine that if you went, and I can actually do that myself, you know, go out and look on the website, Adams County, and then DHS, and then the kind of the integration of the two in one. I don't know if you would be willing to do that research and just tell us, you know, these counties have A, B, C, and D, and then we can kind of just borrow and mimic what's already in existence out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say, and again, this is why I bring the mission piece, and it's been a while since I've worked with the county directly outside of economic development, so it's been a while, but remind me, does Los Angeles County have its own mission statement at this point in time?
No, we don't. And I know Christy and I have talked about that for several years. We were trying to come up with something just very short and simple. And it's just one of those projects that we never got completed.
Well, and maybe it's as simple as taking kind of the lead with CDHS's, and it's just their mission is to enhance the lives of Coloradoans, and maybe ours is to enhance the community of Los Angeles County. But that unified statement alone would serve both DHS and the county as a whole. So something very simple is that. And I feel like, Commissioner Luis Lopez, you're correct that a unified mission statement that's across the board for all is needed. Doesn't mean DHS has to have it stand alone. But I do think that the identity of a logo and branding of those services is important for all of the different departments. And so, again, I'm in support of whatever I can do to help facilitate that. And I will be glad to do that research, Commissioner Felix Lopez, and get that back to the board. And I will be glad to present something further in a more cohesive fashion with the blessing of the board to move forward with additional movement on this.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board or anyone else on the call?
I'd really like to echo the chairman's remarks about the wheel showing unity, and I like the fact that we're looking at a image of Team Los Angeles County, and I really like the round logo and the direction that you're going there.
Thank you, Commissioner Haas. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, I guess moving forward, we can entertain a motion to move forward with the development of the mission, vision, core value, and logo, tie all together. May I have a motion, please?
Go ahead, Felix. Mr. Articulation, let's put this together.
I make a motion to continue to look at the development of the logo, mission statement, core values for the DHS department in unification of both Los Angeles County as one entity. I hope that suffices.
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of employment first plan, county option to participate or decline. Commissioner.
Commissioners, I'm going to request that we table this item until further notice. I did send this plan to Ms. Nelson. However, I am still awaiting some communication with the state in order to finalize that. We do have to have a plan in place by July 31st. However, I will work with the state to see on an extension on that piece. It is a program that we have opted out for the last 2 years, and I will provide more information regarding that at that time.
Very well. Entertain that motion. Okay.
Motion to table the employment first plan.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. The financial reports, consideration of financials as of May 31st, 2020. Mrs. Fogarty, would you still on?
Financials as of May 31st, 2020. If you look at the year-to-date for revenue, Los Angeles County has actually allocated $515,935.73 to Department of Human Services. And if you look at the county share year-to-date, county share is $315,635.49. So right now we have extra funds for them of $200,000 for them for the rest of the year. And hopefully, because from April till probably July is when we get the most property taxes. From after that, it starts to actually decline. So hopefully we can kind of keep the local share enough for the county to actually meet its obligation. Right now, fund balance is $337,000. I do have a few discrepancies that I actually need to look into for child support enforcement. But I went on vacation, so I'll probably look at that probably next week, trying to see what the discrepancy is from what the state is saying that we've spent and what our books are saying. So, and it's about $61,000 difference. So I need to look into that and do some research to see what the difference is there. So that can change the fund balance. You did talk a little bit about the food assistant, the SNAP. So from January, February, and March, it was probably about $370,000 is usually what was spent, but and in April it climbed up to $780,000, and you'll see here in May it was $607,000. So if Teresa's saying that it's going to increase, so that's even though it's 100% dollars, it still is something to watch. I don't know, any other questions?
Just a comment, as always, good job, Ms. Cobley, in providing this to us, working with Mr. Aragon and getting this good. I understand what your concern is. That's why I made the comments earlier regarding our fraud protection and moving forward with that expenditure. So thank you. Any other questions or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the financials as of May 31st, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Executive session. The board will meet in executive session under CRS 24-6-424F. Personnel matters not involving any specific employee who have requested decision of the matter in open session. Any member of this body or an elected official or personnel policy that does not require the discussion of matters personnel to particular employees. Item A, Director Aragon's 90-day evaluation. And item B, administrative leave. Do I hear motion, please?
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting and go into executive session.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.